this morning about. That's what we are gathered here this morning in these few small minutes to find out. The story begins this way. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah went out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Let us pray. Great God, you go before us, you are behind us. You hem us in, behind and before, our whole life long. Now, O Lord, open up this word of Scripture to us, that we might know you more, that we might be called into service in your kingdom, sent out in love. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. This is how that story begins. God calls to Jonah and gives him a new task to do, a new place to go, preaching in Nineveh, Sin City, the Las Vegas of the ancient Near East. God calls Jonah to this new mission, to this new purpose in his life, and Jonah responds by going the other direction, running away. The story of this runaway prophet named Jonah is unlike almost anything else we find in the prophetic literature of the Old Testament. The book of Jonah can be found in the Old Testament of the Bible, along with other prophetic writings. It's nestled there towards the end among what we call the minor prophets. They're called minor prophets not because they're insignificant or unimportant, but because their writings are so small, so short. And Jonah is like that. It's a short story, just 4 chapters long. In fact, the entire book of Jonah contains only 48 verses. 48 verses in the entire book. So this very short story of this very minor prophet is what we're looking at today. But as Father Maple from Moby Dick reminds us, there is a pregnant lesson here. This story is full of rich theological meaning and a message that we need to hear today. I hope we will have ears to hear it. Now, the story is a bit of a satire. When you read it, it's kind of funny. It's almost humorous. It's meant to make you grin as you hear it, maybe even grimace, as the frailties, the human failings of this prophet of God are put on display. He who ran away when he was supposed to be doing something else, he who is swallowed up by a great fish in the sea. And then after 3 days in the fish's belly, you know the story, he is belched up onto the beach. And even then, after everything Jonah has gone through, he can barely bring himself to do the thing God has asked him to do. Jonah is a little bit like a fireman sitting in his firehouse, and a call comes in. It's the chief, and he says, "There's a 4-alarm fire. You need to go and put it out." So Jonah slides down the fire pole, puts on his gear, gets in his hook and ladder truck, and drives the other way. He doesn't go to the fire. He goes somewhere else. God called Jonah for something good, something important, but Jonah chooses to go his own way. Now, speaking this way about Jonah might get us into a little bit of hot water, because I know that many of you, like me, have fond memories of Jonah from your childhood. A hero of the faith, even. You might remember the story of the young girl who was talking to her teacher at school one day, and the teacher asked about this story, and the girl said, "Well, Jonah got swallowed by a whale." And the teacher said, "No, that's actually impossible. It's a large mammal, but it eats plankton, which are very small, and so it can't actually open its mouth wide enough to swallow a whole person. That's impossible. It didn't happen." "Yes, it did," said the girl. "No, it didn't," said the teacher. "Well," said the little girl, "I guess when I get to heaven, I'll just have to ask Jonah myself." "But," said the teacher, "what if Jonah didn't get into heaven? What if Jonah went the other direction?" "Well," said the little girl, "you'll just have to ask her then." I don't want to mess around too much with this story, with your fond memories of dear Jonah. But what we do have to recognize here at the outset of the story is that Jonah, that great prophet of God, was not so great. Jonah was not so great. He was called for a good purpose, but he fled from the presence of the Lord. This word presence in Hebrew is actually the word panah, which is the word for face, the very presence of God. He ran toward Tarshish, which is located maybe somewhere in southern Spain today, somewhere near Gibraltar. At that time, it was the very edge of the known world. It was just about as far away as he could get. Jonah went to incredible lengths to carry out his disobedience. So this is the first thing that we need to hear. Jonah the prophet wasn't so great. But it leads us into the second thing. Jonah the prophet, who wasn't so great, actually has a great bit in common with us. Jonah the prophet, who wasn't so great, has a great deal in common with us. You and me, fellow shipmates. You see, like Jonah, our story also began and begins in the presence of God. God creates us. God calls us into being. God commissions us to lead lives of goodness and mercy. You remember the words of the old psalm that says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's what we're meant for. That's the way it's intended to be. That God should be like a doting mother who looks into a cradle to see her sleeping child, a presence close at hand, a face full of love. But the problem, you see, is that Jonah, like we, turns and runs away. We run from God's presence, away from God's purpose, and toward Tarshish. Tarshish is that place of our own choosing. We pay the fare, we get on the boat, we go where we want to go. It's an assertion of our own independence, of our own self-sufficiency. To go to Tarshish is to say to God, "I don't need you. I've got this covered." It creates a separation from God, that separation that we call sin. We're meant for something good, but we fall into sin, and that leads us to our third point. One, Jonah the prophet wasn't so great. Two, Jonah the prophet, who wasn't so great, has a lot in common with us. And three, Jonah the prophet, who wasn't so great, who has a lot in common with us, is the one bringing us good news today. Listen for it. God chooses and uses Jonah despite himself. Despite who he is, despite what he's done, God chooses and uses a person like Jonah. Listen. Do-da-do. Do you want to know a secret? Do-da-do. Do you promise not to tell? Whoa-whoa. Closer. Do-da-do. Let me whisper in your ear. Do-da-do. Tell you words you long to hear. God's in love with you. Whoa-whoa. God's in love with you. God calls you and creates you for a good purpose. God's presence is meant to be with you. God wants you so much that God will not let you go. God's in love with you so much, God will not let you go. Karl Barth, that great 20th century theologian, once wrote, "Man can certainly flee from God, but he cannot escape him. He may let go of God, but God does not let go of him." God does not let go of you. This is good news, especially here on this Baptism Sunday. In a few minutes, we're going to bring young Sophie Bay up here to the font, and she'll be baptized. She'll go through the waters. She'll be claimed by God. But the truth is that she's going to be baptized by a couple of pastors who are just like Jonah. who are called and created for good purpose, but who often turn aside to the bad. Not only that, but she is going to be raised by a couple of parents, even now sitting in the back, who are just like Jonah, who are created and called for good purpose, and yet who turn away, who falter, who fail again and again. She's going to be taught the Christian faith by a bunch of people, let's call them the church, who are just like Jonah, who are created and called for good purpose, but who keep screwing up, who keep running away, going in their own direction. But this is good news this morning, that God chooses Jonah despite all that, that God chooses you, Gina and Dave, to be parents to Sophie despite all that. God chooses you, Pastor Chris, and me, despite all that, to be pastors of this church. God chooses you, everyone here, despite all that, to serve God, to know God, and to love God. Sophie Bay, the story of Jonah is good news for you because although you're going to be raised by this pack of wolves, by all of these Jonas out here today, you are loved by God. You are chosen by God, and God will be with you throughout the journey of your life. Friends, I want to close just by pointing you to the cover quote that's on your bulletin this morning. It's again by our friend Father Maple, that old sailor turned preacher from Moby Dick. What he says rings true with our message this morning. But oh, shipmates, on the starboard hand of every woe, there is sure delight. Oh, shipmates, on the starboard hand of every woe, there is sure delight. Woe to us, for we've been called to be good, but we're not. Woe to us, we've been called to love, but we don't. Woe to us, we've been called to follow Christ, and we do it only halfway. Woe to us, but for the grace of God, who calls us despite ourselves. Woe to us, but for the grace of God, who places sure delight in our hands this morning. The knowledge that God loves us still and is at work in us still and calls us, calls you and you and you, Sophie Bay, still. Friends, believe this good news of the gospel as it comes to us from the story of Jonah, that though we may falter and fumble, our God does not fail. May you hold on to that, remember it as you go out from this place into your week, a week with many possibilities to fall down or run away. Hold on to this good news of God. The God of grace goes with you and calls to you still. Amen.